Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. As you just heard on the news, the Democratic mayoral candidates had their first high-profile televised debate. It was on Channel 7 last night. Now, to my eye, inequality, middle-class jobs, and denunciation of Mayor Bloomberg were the major themes, with education and stop and frisk as part of that. This comes as a new Quinnipiac poll shows public advocate Bill de Blasio in the lead for the first time, and with a new proposal this morning from John Liu to legalize marijuana possession, small amounts, for adults. We will play some debate clips now and talk to the moderator of last night's debate, Channel 7 anchor Bill Ritter, and another of the questioners, Maria Salgado from the local Univision affiliate, Noticias 41. Bill and Mariella, thanks so much for giving us some morning after time. Welcome to WNYC.
Morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having us.
And let's begin with some clips from the heart of the debate, and then we'll talk about them. First, an exchange between John Liu and Christine Quinn that came right around the halfway mark, about a half hour in, after Quinn had said that she got a living wage bill through city council to help New Yorkers who aspire to the middle class. And Liu retorts,
"Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Are we on a mayoral debate or are we on the Twilight Zone? Because Speaker Quinn opposed living wage legislation every step of the way until it became apparent that there was going to be a supermajority of city council members who then she would face a revolt from if she didn't finally get on the living wage bandwagon. Ms. So Quinn, let's make sure we keep the facts straight."
Ms. Quinn, 15 seconds since you were personally.
You know, it's unfortunate when there's just political finger pointing as opposed to getting things done. I worked on getting the living wage bill passed, and unlike many others on this stage, I got it passed. And again, that's why the union that was the leadership of this, the Retail Workers Union, has endorsed
me.
All right, Christine Quinn and John Liu. And a lot of the debate went like that. Candidates questioning Quinn's record for the middle class and she defending and hitting back. So right after the exchange we just heard, Bill de Blasio was asked by Channel 7 political reporter Dave Evans about the theme of his campaign, inequality in New York. And Dave asked whether that creates a rift between different income group New Yorkers.
Dave, I want to answer that and tell you why I think we can work together to make New York City better. But first, I just have to note, Speaker Quinn has said repeatedly already this evening that she delivered, quote unquote. I want to be clear. I want to amplify what John Liu pointed out. She delivered for the big business community by holding up the paid sick days legislation for 3 full years. She delivered for the real estate industry by offering them a $1 billion tax giveaway. And we all know she delivered for Michael Bloomberg by giving him a third term. So let's be clear about that kind of delivery. As to the question of those who've done well, I embrace them. I am happy that they are part of what makes New York City great. And that is something that's been true for generations in this city. But what's also been true is this city's been available to everyone. It's been open to everyone. Anyone could make it here. That is now slipping away.
Thank you, Mr. Blasio. Ms. Quinn.
I think it's important to note the facts and the truth here. On the living wage debate, Stu Applebaum, the head of the Retail Workers Union, said that Mr. de Blasio was missing in action. Missing in action. Not part of the effort that got that law passed and not part of the effort that continues, like I'm doing, to fight to get it, fight it in court, fight the appeal in court to get it placed into law. But again, I think you're going to continue to hear Mr. de Blasio attack me because he doesn't want folks to know his record. Sure. That when he was in the council for 8 years, he didn't pass one bill to create a good paying job, not one bill to help our schools, not one bill to keep our city safe. That's not a record of results.
So de Blasio and Quinn, and then just a minute later, Anthony Weiner responded to try and distinguish himself from both of them.
You know, my fellow New Yorkers, this is the problem. You know, they all come from basically the same place. They've been part of municipal government for decades now. They've all been part of it, a controller, a former controller, a public advocate, a speaker. They're from the same place. If you want someone truly independent who's going to stop this noise, who's going to finally focus on ideas for the middle class and those struggling to make it, you have a choice here. If you want more of this, You've got plenty of other choices. Do not vote for me. But if you want to break this kind of logjam and finger-pointing and finally have leadership in the city focused on ideas, focused on independence, you know, the only difference between Speaker Quinn and Bill de Blasio is Speaker Quinn's been more successful. They made the same promises to the same people. She got elected Speaker, and Bill's never gotten over it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Weiner.
Anthony Weiner. And one more clip before we talk to our guest. This is Bill Thompson's take on education. Remember, he's a former Board of Education president during the Dinkins administration. And this was typical of the candidate's critique of Mayor Bloomberg's education record.
It was clear from last week and the results, and those results were disastrous, that we need to stop this focus on standardized testing, this obsession with standardized testing. We need more of a focus on comprehension and critical thinking. We need to bring content back into a school system again. We need to make sure that when our children graduate, they can do either go to college or off to the world of work with the skills that they need to succeed. And we might need to stop this closing of schools. Where schools are failing, we need to work to turn them around, not give up on those schools.
Former controller, former Board of Education president Bill Thompson in last night's Democratic mayoral debate on Channel 7. With us are Bill Ritter, Channel 7 Eyewitness News anchor and moderator of that debate, and Mariela Salgado, reporter for Univision station Noticias 41. By the way, that debate will be aired in Spanish on Noticias 41 a week from Friday night. That's the 23rd of August at 11 p.m. in case you want to hear it in Spanish. But, Bill, how would you report on your own debate? What was the headline there, according to you, since you were in the room?
You know, I think that, first of all, those are great clips you played, Brian. It reminded me that, because I'm thinking of, you've moderated debates before, you think of all the logistics of this thing, and I just heard my voice interrupting them because a lot of them went over, and what the viewer and the listener doesn't see are the cue cards and the timing that they know they've been over, and so how do you navigate that minefield without seeming to be rude, because the viewers don't know that they're over, but you know they did go over.
And you were not rude. I liked what you said at the beginning, by the way. You said, if you go over your time, I'll interrupt you nicely at first. That was a nice touch. But
right,
go
nicely
ahead.
At first. That's what I tried to do. On the other hand, I was very cognizant, especially with Ms. Quinn going over so many times, and then I'll get to the substance of this, but I took a lot of hits on the internet because they said I was sort of attacking her, being rude to her. And, of course, that's not what I wanted to do, and that's not my intent. I want them to speak. And anyway, that was the logistical problem.
Right.
I think that the main thing here that was the dynamics, the shifting dynamics. That poll that was released yesterday, the new Quinnipiac poll, no matter what you think of its effectiveness or its accuracy, and that may be up for debate among some people, certainly probably the people at the lower end, it changed the dynamics. It changed the whole tidal shift of this thing. De Blasio was relaxed and confident. If you look at that picture in the times of all five of them lined up today, mm-hmm. He's got his jacket unbuttoned, his shoulders are down, everyone else is much stiffer. They went after Quinn in a way that they wouldn't have before. We expected fireworks between Thompson and De Blasio as you go for the battle over second place. Suddenly, Quinn was the one in play because she's seen as perceived as the weaker person at this point because she hasn't gone up in the polls. And everyone wanted that second place shot. So everyone was attacking Quinn much more than everyone else. And I think that was the major shift that you saw here. The other thing that impressed me was, you know, Weiner and Lou had great lines, and they're both very good in these situations, but they were both sort of marginalized at this point. And no one wanted to talk about Anthony Weiner except Chris Quinn. She did blast him a few times. And John Liu, you know, even Bill Thompson said the campaign finance board should give him the money. So it was like they were both sort of marginalized. And just like that, we're down to three people in the race.
Right. The campaign finance board issue being that they withheld the matching funds that John Liu would otherwise have qualified for because of his, the convictions of some of his fundraisers.
Two, yeah.
With respect to that. But interesting that other candidates said, no, you should still give him the matching funds that he qualified for. Well, Mariela, we got a call from a listener after the debate last night who said there was so much criticism of Mayor Bloomberg in the debate, you'd hardly know that Democratic New York elected him three times and still gives him pretty high approval ratings. Why would the candidates in the Democratic primary make criticism of the mayor such a centerpiece?
I think that it has to do with term limits, Brian. And there was also the feeling that they wanted to make Ms. Quinn part of that era, the Bloomberg era, and supporting his policies. So the concept of Mayor Bloomberg will keep coming back as a way of trying to get to Ms. Quinn, who now sees herself in the second place, distant from Bill de Blasio. So the whole shift of the debate, like Bill said, changed. We saw them spending more time in each question to either blast Ms. Quinn and then Mr. Wiener trying to be part of that exchange and make himself relevant. When he made that line, that he said, look, you both fought for the same things. You promised the same things. Ms. Quinn won, and you haven't been able to accept that. You know, basically, he said that to Mr. de Blasio, and that's him trying to stay relevant. In that particular debate, I think that Ms. Quinn and Mr. de Blasio kind of took the first place when it comes to the exchange. But I think it's unavoidable to look at the Bloomberg era and talk about his policies. Education has been shaken up. He took over the Department of Education. We started the teachers' evaluation. Kids are not doing great on their tests. So either we want to or not, we have to bring up all the issues that touch New Yorkers right now.
Bill, you also moderated a Republican mayoral candidates debate the other day, and they were quite supportive of the mayor. I think that was one of the themes that emerged from that. So remembering that New York hasn't elected a Democratic mayor in 24 years, whoever wins these two nominations, now that you've stood there with all of them, how much of a contrast do you think we'll see?
Well, I think we'll see not much if one of the Republicans gets it, and I think we'll see a lot if any of these Democrats get it. I didn't moderate the debate. My colleague Sade Baranois did, but I think that you know, Bloomberg is the issue here, and so is Giuliani. I mean, you know, it rankles Democrats that in a city that they outnumber Republicans 6-1 or so, they haven't won this mayor's race in the last five elections. And it seems likely, if you believe the polls, that they will win this time. And so the question is, what of the Bloomberg and Giuliani legacies are they going to embrace? I think it's, you know, objectively, you look at New York City, and there's just no question that there are problems and there are things that have to be fixed. But just as objectively, I think most people would say, if they're intellectually honest, that the city is better than it was 20 years ago in so many ways, in terms of crime, in terms of quality of life. There are enormous problems. They just can't ignore them, and they have to be addressed. One of the things I was disappointed in last night was that none of the candidates really addressed how they're going to grow jobs and grow the economy in a real way. We talk a lot about, you know, raising taxes, and I think all these people may do that. Certainly Mr. de Blasio has made no secret of that. But the question isn't, you know, taking the same pool of money and resources and redistributing them as much as it is growing that. And how do you get people real jobs that aren't just minimum wage jobs, that are sustainable jobs and that have, you know, great qualities of life to them? And that's the bigger challenge. You know, the mayor only has a limited ability to do that, but they do have some ability. And I think that none of them really addressed that question last night. Mr. Blasio, the bite you used about him embracing people who are successful,
yes.
I think that was, you know, a little toned down. I think he did tone himself down. He's quite capable of sort of being a political flamethrower, and he wasn't doing that last night. He really did try, I think, to sort of embrace this front runner status that was just 3 hours old at the time of the debate.
And in a minute, we'll play the clip from the debate where you asked everybody to go down the row and say what they would do with respect to taxes, and we'll hear about Bill de Blasio's tax hike proposal. But Marielle, before we do that, could you fact check the exchange that we played between Quinn and John Liu when he said she was against the living wage bill until the 23rd hour and then came in and took credit for it when, you know, the rest of city council would have revolted if she didn't do that? That was his Twilight Zone remark. What's in that living wage bill, and did it go down the way Liu said it did?
To be honest with you, I don't have the facts on that particular bill, but I do know that Ms. Quinn apparently had worked on it. Exactly when she actually pushed for it or not, I remember that she, you know, I remember a big deal when it was said that Mr. de Blasio was missing in action, and that kind of created a reaction in the debate, but I don't have the facts on that.
And certainly I know that with respect to the paid sick leave bill, it did go down that way. Quinn had been opposing it, and then she was getting a lot of pressure from de Blasio and some of the other candidates and her own council members, and finally let that come to a vote and crafted a compromise on it that was a little bit more conservative, but then she took credit for doing it when she had been opposing it. But Mariella, there is no Latino candidate in this race. Even as the Latino vote becomes more influential every election, Did you hear candidates playing to Latino voters last night?
Absolutely. A couple of times, Mr. Thompson and Mr. Liu appealed to their immigrant roots and talked about stop and frisk extensively, how they would help Black and Latino communities who they claim are more targeted, and how they will build relationships. They also talked about municipal IDs and trying to include undocumented residents or workers in New York City somehow, whether they can get a card to go to a library or be able to open a bank account. And some of them went beyond the fact that they would actually fight for a driver license in Albany so they could drive legally. So, yes, there was the immigration appeal to try to capture the Hispanic vote. And they did spend time also on small business. At some point, Mr. de Blasio did try to talk about small business, which will go directly to the bodegas, being some of them. There was no more time to go in depth into that, but yes, certainly they try to reach out to the Hispanic community. Some of them even try in Spanish many times when we interview them to say a few phrases and try to connect with the Hispanic community. So yes, absolutely.
Okay, and here is that one more exchange from the debate. This is about a minute and a half on taxes, and it begins with Bill Ritter's question.
At our Republican mayoral debate on Sunday, all three candidates said they would not raise taxes. Let's start with Mr. de Blasio. For the record, do you support raising taxes? 15-second answers, if we could, please.
I think I've made abundantly clear that to address this tale of two cities we're living, we do need to raise taxes on those who make a half million or more. It's fair to raise taxes a little more on those who are doing well to help our children and help fix our school system.
Thank you. Mr. Liu.
By the way, Bill de Blasio 2 years ago said very clearly he was opposed to a millionaire's tax. Now he's flipped his position. For a long time, I've called for reform in our income tax system. Those who make a half a million or more should pay a little bit more.
Thank
and
you.
Those below that threshold would get a reduction in their income
Thank
tax.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Raising taxes are a last resort, not a first option. And every time taxes have been raised, it always seems that they're raised on middle class and working class New Yorkers. Well, that needs to end. So last resort, not a first option.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner.
Weiner administration, if you make less, $150,000 or less, you're going to get a 10% tax cut. If you make $1 million or more, you're going to pay 1% more. But make no mistake about it. If you're a small business owner, you've been getting tax increase after tax increase after tax increase because of the policies of the mayor and the city council.
Thank you. Raising taxes, Ms. Quinn.
Raising taxes is always something you want to only do as a last resort. But if we have to do it, it has to be done in a progressive way where those who make more pay more. But one thing I'm going to go to Albany no matter what and fight for is to make sure a personal income tax on lower income New Yorkers is eliminated. Folks
okay,
who get
you.
The federal earned income tax credit, they pay a personal income tax here.
Thank
That's
you,
wrong,
Quinn.
And I'll stop it.
Thank you very much.
The five candidates in last night's Democratic mayoral primary debate, Bill Ritter, the moderator from Channel 7 Eyewitness News, Mariela Salgado from Univision, Noticias 41, also a questioner in the debate with us for another few minutes. Bill, do you think de Blasio's focus on inequality, he keeps using that word, and his tax hike for the wealthy with money to be dedicated for universal pre-K, as we heard there, is one of the reasons he's jumped into the lead for the first time in this new Quinnipiac poll?
Well, it might be. I think a variety of reasons. I think, Chris Quinn, her polling numbers, I think she's sort of like the Mitt Romney of this campaign. You know, remember Romney couldn't get out of the 20s in terms of approval ratings of the Republican candidates in the primaries for the presidential election. Chris Quinn, I think, has had sort of that same problem. Romney, of course, ended up, getting the nomination. We'll see if Ms. Quinn does. I think that really with de Blasio at this point, he got a lot of the Weiner support as Weiner dropped. And became marginalized. And I also think that, we can't discount that ad that he had. I think that ad was just so effective. His son Dante was sort of the star of the crowd last night. He's a tall guy like his dad, very good looking, this, very distinctive afro. This sort of multiracial ad that he had with his African-American wife and his son, that looks like a lot of New York City these days, a real melting pot. And despite the lack of an Hispanic candidate, the last, credible candidate we had was Freddie Farrar when he ran for mayor against Bloomberg. It was a melting pot of candidates up there. You look at those five candidates, and they represent what is New York. And I think de Blasio's ad really did help propel him. That, and I think Weiner's fall, a lot of that support, apparently, according to the pollsters, went to went to de Blasio. I'm interested, Brian, in your take. You know, you've moderated so many of these debates. You've been involved in so many. You know, what did you think of this first venture for these people on television?
And I'll be one of the questioners in next Wednesday's second mayoral debate. But it was about what I expected. It was very focused on the middle class. It was very focused on dissatisfactions with Mayor Bloomberg, that the kind of thing that might push a lot of the people who are going to vote in the Democratic primary to the polls. As I indicated in the intro, you know, I think there's some risk there. I think there's some risk there for the general election, since a lot of people are pretty happy with Mayor Bloomberg. And if somebody positions themselves too far to the left, they stand to be more vulnerable in the general election. So I think some of the Democrats are trying to figure out whether to go for that anti-Bloomberg anger vote or to try to hedge that a little bit. And they didn't hedge all that much except Chris Quinn. So that was one of my impressions last night.
And, you know, Joe, but we should remember, neither Rudy Giuliani or Michael Bloomberg ever held elected office before they became mayor of New York City, perhaps the second most important elected office, or certainly second biggest elected office in the country. That's a very big deal. The question really is, and I don't mean to throw any wrenches into the Republican primary because it's open, but can Joe Loda, who's way ahead in the polls, can he rise to that occasion as a candidate? It was not a very lively debate, the Republican mayoral candidate.
Well, if Loda wins, that, of course, will be a question for the fall. I also thought that what we saw, as you were describing, was de Blasio, Thompson, and Quinn really going at each other, because it is kind of a game of musical chairs now. Two of those candidates presumably are going to get into a runoff. That's assuming that neither of them gets over 40%. So two out of those three, one of them is going to be left behind. Is it Quinn? Is it de Blasio, who's surging? Is it Thompson, who's got a lot of support, a lot of endorsements, police unions, all kinds of things? So it's really going to be a race to the finish line. Probably between those three, not to totally discount Wiener and Lou, but probably between those three, and one of them is going to be left behind. Mariella, before you go, I just want to get your take on the John Liu proposal that came out after the debate to legalize medical marijuana in New York, and I think it's possession by any adult of up to an ounce of pot, medical or not. What's your political analysis of this coming just a few weeks before the primary?
Well, I think it's a risky proposal for him. In my side of the spectrum, the Hispanic community that I report to, they tend to be very conservative Hispanics when it comes to social issues or things like that. On the medical part, I think that he probably will find the support, but when it comes to a personal usage, I think that could be probably not great for him among the Hispanic voters. And it kind of contradicts a little bit the way that we perceive him up to this point, because he's the son of immigrants. He's trying to make himself, look, I'm an immigrant. I'm trying to make the American dream like you. I want to fight for the undocumented. And then something like this, it's almost like there's this disconnect among voters when they're Hispanics, that they are very socially active and they want to have all these laws passed that will benefit them, but at the same time, they're very conservative on social issues. So it's hard for them sometimes to find that ideal candidate. So I think that in a way, it might hurt them within the Hispanic vote if it's for personal use. They could probably understand it with the medical aspect, but not personal.
Interesting. And finally, Bill, before you go, on something completely unrelated, this is the 10th anniversary of the big Northeast blackout. Marielle, I know you were in Miami then, but Bill, do you remember where you were when the lights went out 10 years ago today?
Yes, I remember exactly. My children, who were young then, two of them were young then, were in the Eyewitness News studio, and they were there after school, I think, and they come by to say hi. And no, it was summer. They wasn't school. They were there for some reason. And all of a sudden, the lights blink in the studio, I mean in the newsroom, and their eyes just go wide, and I go, something bad just happened. So we went for the next, you know, several hours broadcasting to I don't know who, because no one had any power.
Yeah,
but we
problem.
Were on this little teeny flash cam in the newsroom, two of us jammed together, which is only meant for one person, and we were just on constantly. And some people could see us somewhere, I don't know where, but I had this one vivid memory of our reporter, Nina Pineda, out with someone who had a generator, and this person with a generator in their van was keeping a kid with asthma on a ventilator.
Wow.
And
That's just a great story.
An image I will never forget. You know, New Yorkers come together in catastrophes and crises, and it was just a very different experience. Very hot, I remember, no air conditioning, and people were just out in the streets walking. But it was scary. You know, we are so vulnerable to all this stuff. You know, the bridge closes, the tunnel goes down. There are so many things that can trap us outside the normalcy of our lives, and that day was one of them.
Well, that's a great story about the kid with asthma. My memory is a little more mundane, and I was out of town. I was putting money into a dryer at a laundromat in the Adirondacks, and everything went down, and I thought I broke the machine.
Brutal, Brian.
Then the lights came back on there, and I wound up being in the only corner of New York State that had lights for the next day or so, as
it
turned out.
And dry underwear.
Absolutely. So, listeners, where were you when the lights went out 10 years ago today? We're collecting your memories on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC and post your 2003 blackout stories. Bill Ritter, anchor and debate moderator from Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Mariela Salgado, reporter for Univision, Noticias Channel 41. Thanks so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, reminder that I will be a questioner in the next mayoral debate next Wednesday night, and we are collecting question ideas from you on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and if you want to plan in advance, we'll also be having a simultaneous online chat during that debate next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mark your calendars for that next Wednesday at 7 p.m., the WNYC New York 1 mayoral debate coming up then. Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. And coming up next, we'll break down the results of the Senate primary in New Jersey, where Cory Booker and Steve Lonergan cruised to victory. We'll spend just a few minutes on that with the outcomes so lopsided. And then we will ask, should the Fort Hood shooter, Nidal Hassan, who is on trial right now and apparently angling for the death penalty, be allowed to commit suicide by execution? We'll take your calls.